What's up, everybody? So as I mentioned last week, this part of the Tanya, Perek Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, and then Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem, are very neatly divided, although they overlap, into two central concepts. Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin talks about the importance of the Maisa that we do. And in Paraklam, basically he makes the essential point that the spiritual neshama, the godly soul that comes down from Shemayim, does not need to be rectified at all. It is already in a state of perfection in and of itself. And it was put down into the earth, into this lowly physical world, because it was the Ratzon Hashem that godliness has to be revealed from Hester, from concealment, and from darkness, and from the material world, which is the furthest manifestation of Hashem. Because as the Or Ein Sof goes through all the various olamos, and infinite tzimtzumim, contractions, and mesachim, mesachim are masks and veils, right? The whole story of Purim is about a mask and a veil. That is how the worlds get progressively physical, because physicality by definition means the covering up and the concealment of the divine light. And it's the Ratzon Hashem that the mission of the neshama is to be misgaber over the materialism, over the animal soul, and bring light out of darkness, bring sweetness out of bitterness. And this is encapsulated in the phrase that's really from a medrash, but it was made famous by the Alter Rebbe. It's almost the Chabad mission statement. Everybody says this a million times. That is Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dira B'Tachtenim. It was God's desire to make a dira, to make a dwelling place in the lowly world. By the way, let me just remind you again. I don't know if you will even remember this, but if you have a good liturgical memory, if you remember Piyutim that we say in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, some people are into that, some people are not. But there is a piyut that is recited. It comes in two different forms, in which we compare and we contrast the glory of the angels that praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, you Hashem are praised by this and by that and by that and by that, but V'ratzisa Shevach, but you want, this is before Kedusha, but you want your praise from us. And then it talks about us in the very lowly terms. You are praised by the greatest of angels, but you desire the praise of the lowliest of creatures, etc. And it goes back and forth. It's an aleph base, basically. So the aleph will be how great the angels are, the base is how bad we are, the gimel is how great the angels are. So it comes, it's in two different versions, because it was written by two different mechabrim. One is the refrain, V'ratzisa Shevach, and the other is V'avisa Tehillah. So it's the same thing. But the piyutim were stylized and they were written by different mechabrim.
That's what we always say at the end.
Huh?
The negative one.
No. That's another one. There's another one like that. That's Melech Elyon. That's an interesting one. Melech Elyon. You'll notice in the Machzor, a very strange thing. It goes Aleph Gimel Hey Hey Zayin. It goes every other letter, because originally there was a contrast between Melech Elyon, Melech Evyon. Now, the way we keep it, we only keep the last Melech Evyon. So we do a Shin and a Tuf. But the original version, indeed, was an alternate. So the truth of the matter is that a lot of the Piyutim in the Machzor were cut up, or, you know, whatever it is, different for reasons of time, things were contracted. So you can actually find, in some Machzorim, you can find the original version, but to show that you don't say it, they put it in light typeface, like the Vilna. They put out, just like at the Vilna Siddur, they put out a Vilna Machzor for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Very, very nice Machzor. And they keep the original Surah of all the Piyutim, but they do it in a different typeface, so you shouldn't, you know, there's no issue to say it, but you know, we don't say it. Okay. So therefore, the Bala Tanya says there is a special importance, and this is what we looked at last week, I'm just reviewing the Yisai, there's a special importance in the physicality of the mitzvos that you do. Because the processes of thought are essentially spiritual processes. And that the neshama doesn't have to come to earth to fully do. But the notion of taking the cow and shechting it and making leather and making tefillin and giving tzedakah out of the physical earnings that your body went through, the whole concept there is you're elevating the physical, you're elevating the gashmias, you're sanctifying the gashmias. And really, two things happen when you sanctify the gashmias. Number one, you're bringing godliness into the world, because the gashmias is no longer a mesach hamavdil, it is no longer a curtain that separates between God and physicality, because the physicality itself becomes nisyached, it becomes unified with Kedusha. Now, the other problem is this. The Baal HaTanya mentions as an interesting aside, but l'chora, there's always a problem. Because why is physicality by definition a separation? Because if we were to experience the full godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would not exist. So in a sense, physicality requires concealment and symptom. So how can you then say, I do mitzvos and I reverse that process, at least in part? If that's going to be the case, I'm setting myself up for my own self-annihilation. So on that, the Baal HaTanya answers, just like you find by Matan Torah, Porcha Nishmasan, when they see the revelation of God's godliness, their neshama just leaves the guf, they can no longer stay in a guf. So how can it work for us? So the Baal HaTanya says, it was Porcha Nishmasan before they got the Torah, or when they're in the process of getting the Torah. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Torah, Torah gives you the koach to retain your mitzias, notwithstanding the revelation of godliness. That is why the Torah is called Oz, because it gives me the koach. Now, there are some contradictions here, because here the Baal HaTanya seems to be saying it's a positive thing to keep your mitzias. And yet, he's going to say in a number of places that the highest madrega, actually, in Kedusha, is when you're able to be mevatel your mitzias. But here he's making a point that the Torah gives you an oz, it gives you a strength to be able to remain a baal bechira, to be able to remain even a physical being, in spite of the fact that God is revealing more and more and more of his mitzias in the world. By the way, the Baal HaTanya also says, again, it's not so necessary for the overall thesis. He says that God's contractions and God's limitations and God's withdrawal as you go from the higher worlds to the lower worlds actually takes two different forms. It takes the form of the diminution of light, and it takes the form of the masking of light. Again, right now I'll just say it as a concept. It's not clear what the nafkamina is. Meaning to say, if you compare from Atsilos to Bria to Yetzirah and Asiya, there is less of the ore, and the ore that is there is covered up and mechusa. Apparently, the Baal HaTanya is going to use this to make some very big nafkaminas, but he points out, therefore, that sometimes what happens is a reduction of the light, and sometimes what happens is a concealment of the light, and sometimes what happens is both things are at the same time. But collectively, these are called the processes of tzimtzumim and misachim. Tzimtzumim is a contraction of the light, and misachim, mesach, is a mask, is a masking of the light. Yeah.
Just to clarify the self-annihilation point, is there a rough saying that if we were to experience Hashem in his full form, that we wouldn't be able to continue to exist in the way that we are now in our bodies, or not at all?
We would not exist at all. This is the meaning. Certainly it wouldn't be Shaykh Bechira, but it's mashma, we would not exist. We would be like a candle in the light of the sun, many more times so. And this is the meaning of the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Lo yirani, thank you for the tea, whoever. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Man cannot see me, Hashem says, and live, meaning it is not possible for a person to remain human and autonomous if he truly perceives HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the meaning of the Medrash that says, as I mentioned a moment ago, that when Hashem gave the Aseres HaDibros, on every single dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Porcha Nishmasam, their soul left their body to be united with God. And that's the meaning of what Chazal say. How did Hashem revive them? With the tal. Hashem gave them dew, or put dew on them, that revived them. So the Alter Rebbe says quite logically that tal itself is a symbol for the Torah, as Moshe Rabbeinu said in Hazinu, Tizal Katal Imrasi, and therefore that's goof of the pshat. What enabled them to overcome the natural tendency of Porcha Nishmasam was the tal shel Torah that gives a person oz. Yeah.
So if the solution that the Baal Tam is advancing is that by having the Torah we're able to do mitzvahs and still remain within our bodies, what was pshat by the others who were doing them without the Torah? I can think of two, but I wonder if he has one.
So with the Avos, he says later, the famous statement of Chazal, the Avos are their Merkava, that the Avos were totally nispatel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, which means to say there was not a single... I mean, they did exist as physical beings. Obviously, that is the case. But there was not a single tenua that involved any element of egotism. So essentially, there was a beetle of the yesh as individuals. That's
same
what he says.
True for Moshe.
That would be the true. In fact, Meshach Chachma even says that the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have bechira because he was totally nispatel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what he says in Perek Lamed Zayin. He concludes the section with the importance of Maisa. Just want to mention at the very end of Perek Lamed Zayin, there's an interesting passage that he says. He again goes back, because, you know, you see, the Baal Tanya has to go back and forth with a lot of things, because he's kind of juggling a lot of things. And in a way, you know, the Kutzker Rebbe used to say, when you walk in the middle, you get hit with traffic coming from both sides. That's the day of horses. You know, and the Baal Tanya, is really juggling a lot of balls, because, in fact, it's very, very interesting. I just read very recently the tremendous hisnagdus among Hasidus to the Tanya. The Tanya was mamish a very, very controversial work, primarily because it was too litvish. It stresses too much learning and all that other stuff that some Hasidim held should not be overemphasized that way. So right after the Baal Tanya talks about how important the physical magushim dika maisa is, the leather of tefillin, the money of tzedakah, the eating, in order that I should say Birkas HaMazon, right? The importance of the Maisa itself, because that's the whole Tachlis. The Neshama didn't need a Tikkun. The whole Tachlis was to take the physicality and remove the separations. So he Memela has a little bit of a problem. So what's the big deal about learning? Why is learning such a big thing, etc.? Indeed, some said it wasn't such a big thing. So he talks about the idea that it's kind of like an energy source. Meaning like, again, it goes back to the other idea of Oz. Torah is called Oz. So one aspect of Oz is it gives me the strength to remain a physical entity even when godliness gets revealed. That's one aspect of Oz. There's another aspect of Oz that it gives me the koach to be able to do these physical mitzvahs and bring out Kedusha. It is my energy source. Meaning Torah is the source of that which will give me the koach. Now again, Chazal said it in a very simple way. Chazal said, Barasi Yetzer Hara. I created a Yetzer Hara within a person that causes a person to rebel against Hashem. Barasi Torah Tavlin. The Torah is the antidote. The Torah is the medicine. So Mimela like this. Yes, the ultimate goal. So this is a little different maybe than Rav Chaim Volozhiner. The ultimate goal is not learning per se. The ultimate goal is actually the Maisa HaMitzvahs. But it is learning with intensity, with hasmada, to be shakua in Torah, that gives you the koach to then go out and do the mitzvahs, certainly with the right kavanah, we'll also see, and therefore expose the godliness. So, now in reality, if you think about it, this is actually the pashut pshat in Chazal. I mean, Chazal say, the Gemara in Kedushin declares, what's greater, maisa or talmud, or learning? So, the Gemara's maskana is, gadol talmud. Talmud, Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Yeah, learning is greater than mitzvahs. But why is learning greater than mitzvahs? Because it is learning that will give you the koach to do maisa. So actually, what that really means is, maisa is greater, but the kedima, the chashivas we have for Talmud Torah is that Talmud Torah will give me the ability to do mitzvahs. Now that's in many ways. Number one, it gives me the knowledge, but that's actually the least important, but that is true. It gives me the knowledge. But number two, it creates It's medabek me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, which then gives me the power to encounter the material world and elevate it. So the Baal HaTanya has to emphasize over and over again that even though it is ultimately the Maisa HaMitzvah that is the Tachlis HaBriya, the learning is not the Tachlis of the Briya. The mitzvos are the tachlis of the Briya. Again, this is not like Rav Chaim Volozhin. This is the Baal HaTanya. But the Baal HaTanya says, it is only through learning that you will be able to accomplish that tachlis. So chas v'shal, you see that he's balancing on a narrow point here. Because other chassidim may have said, oh, the tachlis are mitzvos, learning, okay, good, you have to learn Kriya Shema, Shachar, Sri Arvis, how much do you have to learn? He says, no. He says, your kayach to do those mitzvos will come from your kesher to the Torah Hashem. It's an interesting intermediate position. So instead of saying Torah is the most important thing, and instead of saying mitzvos are the most important thing, the Baal HaTanya says, mitzvos are the most important thing, but they cannot be done without the eyes that Torah gives a person. And again, it's not simply the pragmatic idea, which of course is also true, that if I don't learn, I'm not going to know. That of course is true also, but it's more of a metaphysical idea. It's makasher you. Again, this is like Rav Chaim Volozhin. It's makasher you to the Ratzon Hashem. And the Ratzon Hashem is the same as the Metzias Hashem, because Hashem is an indivisible unity in Achdus HaPashut. And therefore, that gives me koach. It's a power line. It's like a battery charge with an infinite source of power. And the infinite source of power gives me the ability to look at this physical world and make bechira and elevate and transform the physical world. Yeah.
The woman who's not married. Woman married may get her koach maybe from her husband. A woman who's not married, what's your kesher to Torah?
So again, they say b'shem the Gra, although the Baal HaTanya does not mention women at all, I think in the whole Sefer. they say b'shem the Gra that Sneas has the same makam as Talmud Torah for men. It's a very sure mind, but it's hard to see exactly why it would be equivalent. But that is what is said b'shem the Gra. I did not see it in the Gra. I saw it, I think, in Rabbi Falk's book on Sneas. Well, as I say, a Fox book on Sneas has almost become a Kisvei HaKodesh. People have daily shiur. I mean, the truth is, he's a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, but extremely, extremely machmer. His psukim are very, very, very beyond what halacha requires. But okay, but be it as it may, I think more realistically, another mahalach that's brought down in many svarim is that a woman's kesher equivalent to Torah is Amunah. That makes a little bit more sense to me, because it's directly being mistabek in Amunah. Men need the emtsa'i of Torah to be makasher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Women could be makasher directly by connecting to God without going through necessarily Torah. Yeah.
So I had a question on that while we're here. Amunah is something that is clearly prevalent and necessary before and after marriage. But the Gemara and Bracha seems to very clearly establish that there is a benefit to taking the children to learn and also making sure waiting for her husband, etc., etc.
Once she's married, yeah.
Once she's married, is that to the exclusion of Amunah? They become co-equal?
No, chas v'shalom. I mean, certainly, men have to have Amunah too.
Right.
But it means that a woman now acquires an extra access, an extra kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through her shaychus to Torah. So in a way, a woman has two pathways. The man's pathway is primarily through Torah. The woman has two pathways, her own experience of Emunah, as well as the siyua that she gives her husband and children in learning. Yeah.
The question that I have, in terms of this balance in learning, about the sort of the practical, you have to know what in order to do, and then also the totally spiritual about Koach, the balance that the Baal Tanya is trying to make, would he then argue or at least find support for people selecting what they learn based on what is more practical? Meaning, Shad is still spiritual, but they're going to find much more of a Koach from something that is Shaykh to them now or at some point in their lives, rather than, say, a lady learning about Hilchos Kohanim or something.
Right, right. So I think that's logical, but I do want to make the point that in this Prat, you know, the Baal HaTanya agrees with the Nefesh HaChaim. You know, if you go back to the Chavos HaLevavos, you know, we have a tendency in the firm world, in the yeshivish world, when we identify the great Yesodis HaKesfoyim, we all want them to say the same thing. No Chavos HaLevavos, Nefesh HaChaim, Mesil Shesharim, they're all, you know, they all say this. You know, they don't say the same thing. And they actually have major, major, major Chilukei Deis. Let me go back to the Chavos HaLevavos. The Chavos HaLevavos, which is the earliest, by far the earliest saint, the Chavos HaLevavos is before the Rambam. The Chavos HaLevavos actually ridicules theoretical learning. He makes fun of it. I mean, he makes fun of the concept of learning things that are never going to be Nogea L'maisa. Chavos HaLevavos writes, I guess maybe people skip this part, I don't know. He writes that somebody went to a Chacham and asked an ingenious Shaila about giving a get a certain way. Like a pilpul, that based on the sugya, could you give a get in a funny way? So the Chacham said to him, this is something that will not happen in 1,000 years. Have you learned everything that's nogeya to how you love Hashem and fear Hashem? Have you already mastered that you're spending your time on theoretical questions that will never happen? What nachas does Hashem get from them? Now that is what the Chavos HaLevavos writes. Now, go to the Nefesh HaChaim a few hundred years later. And the whole Nefesh HaChaim, which is, of course, the basic shita of the whole yeshiva world, is that fakert. Even if what you're learning is not nogeya l'maisa bichlal, it has no practical application. It's theoretical of theoretical of theoretical. It is abstract. It is not nogeya l'maisa. In fact, Ravadja used to make fun of it. Ravadja was a little sarcastic. He used to say that in Panovich, if you wanted to learn every day, you had to hide out in a room where nobody would see you if you wanted to learn halacha l'maisa. You know, it was a bizarion to learn halacha l'maisa in Panovich. And it almost became that way, that in some places, oh, you're learning halacha, you're on the way out, you know. So what was Rav Chaim Volozhiner's thesis? His thesis was, because every chelek of Torah is the Ratzon HaBayrei. And when you connect to the Ratzon HaBayrei, you're misdabek with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea of Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, is not only when you're learning Musar, it's when you're learning Shor Shenagei Chesapara, when you're learning whatever is Shnayim Ochsim Betalis. That's what Rav Chaim says. Now, so the Emes says, I want to make the point, that the Baal HaTanya actually holds exactly the same shita. He doesn't say it's Sopaferish here, although I think it comes out of his discussion of learning, but in the Kuntres Acharon, which is kind of the appendix, the appendix of additional notes to the Tanya, he talks about, people ask him, why do we bother to learn things that are not Nogeya L'maisa, that will never happen? And he basically says what the Nefesh HaChaim says, that the Pshat is. You're mizdabek to the Seichel HaBayrei, that is being mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore your home Metzias is different, the aura of the Ein Sof is going into your Neshama. So, having said that, I want to make the point that on this level, things are the same, but I think you would be correct that there would still be if all things are equal, there would be a Kedima in things that are lamaisa as well, because in addition to the spiritual benefit, it also gives you the tools. But the emes is, you know, I think that's true according to everybody. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't mean the Rav Shulchan, I mean the regular Shulchan Aruch, and in the name of the Shach brings, that if a person only has 2 or 3 hours a day to learn, he's not a full-time learner, but 2 or 3 hours, Baruch Hashem, that's also a kviyas. He should be Isaac in Inyanim that are in Ogea Halacha L'maisa. That he should know what to do. Now, the only problem is this. I'll tell you what the problem with Halacha L'maisa is. And this is what Rav Yashiv's point. Rav Yashiv, you know, Bizman Azeh, a lot of the new Kailalim tend to be what you call Halacha L'maisa Kailalim. Some of the Mishnah Brura Kailalim. Rav Yashiv didn't like it, although Rav Yashiv was, obviously he knew halacha, he was a Paisei Kador, but he basically thought that when people have these halacha l'maisei kailalim, they're so impatient to know the bottom line that they're not really miyageya in going through a sugya with Rishonim. Because they just want to know, like, what's the halacha here, what's the halacha here, what's the halacha here. And if you think about this, you see from the Baal HaTanya as well as the Nefesh HaChaim, and here they are walking in the same pathway, that this spiritual essence of Torah, opening yourself up to receive the light of the Ein Sof, is a function of your Yagiyah B'Torah, your toil and your work. And when you try to go through shortcuts, of course something happens. Of course it's Torah. But it's not going to be the same. So it's a difficult, so you have an interesting balance, meaning to say, superficial halacha versus yegia b'taira on what's not nogea l'maisa. So I would agree with you, if you took the same yegia and you applied it to halacha l'maisa, that probably would have a better effect. But when you're dealing with, you know, more superficial versus more miyagea, that's an interesting question as to what do you do. And that's really the problem Rav Yashiv had with halacha l'maisa kailalim. And again, we even see it in Or Samech to some degree, that when people are learning for halacha, they're very, very impatient. They want to cut to the chase, and they don't want to really go through a sugya. By the way, I don't want to get on a soapbox. When I say Ian, I don't necessarily mean what we do as Ian either. That's a separate mixaya. Ian does not necessarily mean looking up a lot of stuff. That's Bikias and Meforshim. That's not the same as Ian. Ian means thinking deeply about what you're learning. You could sit with just Gemara, Rashi, and Taisus and, you know, think it through in a very, very thorough way. And that is really the Emistic Ian. You know what they say? I don't want to be negative about everybody tonight, but okay, that's another problem. But that's another problem. But you know, what do they like to say? They like to say, you know, Tysus didn't have Tysus. What do they say? You know, what did Tysus learn, right? It's like, you know, you look at the Gemara and Rashi and you try to figure everything out. Okay, yeah. But that is the sheet. Again, at least in sheet, that is what Chavetz Chaim tries to do. Yeah.
I'm just curious, so does that mean that there's something that women get when being osik in emunah more than men? Just like I would guess that women won't experience what a man experiences, being that that's not the channel of connection when they learn Torah. So
the Baal HaTanya gives an interesting example. I think you are right. The Baal HaTanya gives an example. This is the end of Perek Mem. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu where the Navi says, "Hoy, alas, kol sameh, you thirsty people, go to water." So the Chazal say that the water means Torah, and thirsty means if you're thirsty for Hashem, go to the water of Torah. So the Baal HaTanya says, what's the point here? If I have a direct desire to learn, then I'm going to learn. In other words, what does it mean? If you're tsameh, go to water. If you're thirsty for Torah, go to Torah? I mean, what's the point? What's the chiddush? He says like this. Thirsty doesn't mean I'm directly thirsty for Torah. It means I'm thirsty for God. But I think I could have my kesher to God without going through Torah learning. That's what the pasuk is saying. For a man, that's a foolishness. If you're thirsty for Hashem, you must go to the water of Torah. If you think you can have that kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Torah, by meditation and even by emunah for a man, that's not going to be maswik. So I think based on that interpretation, that's bedafka the point that you're making. Of course, a person needs emunah bitachon, but he has to be mekusher to Torah.
Right. But is it true that, women won't get the same feed from learning Torah as a man?
I think that is true. I know that we live in an egalitarian culture, and of course, even all the way back to the Chafetz Chaim, with Sarah Schneer, the Chafetz Chaim said it was very, very important at a time of assimilation and the breakdown of a traditional family, going back to the beginning of the 20th century, that women have a formal knowledge of Torah much more so than they used to, and Eino Chinami, that is necessary. But in terms of the neshama, so to speak. It can't be the same. The neshamas are different. The neshamas get a different type of nutrition. So even though it can combat the Yetzirah, it can combat the Sviva, etc., but it cannot create the same spiritual kesher. So you have to understand, the Baal HaTanya is therefore jumping between different polarities, because on one hand, it's clear that in some objective tachlis world, tachlis of the universe, mitzvos are the tachlis of the universe. But without Torah, that tachlis could absolutely not be realized. And that is the meaning of the pasuk, im lo berisi yayman balayla, without my, right, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, famous pasuk, without my covenant of the Torah, which is to be learned, yomam v'layla, chukai shamayim v'aretz lo samti, the boundaries of heaven and earth could not exist. Without the Torah, there couldn't be a world. So now you understand it very well. Without the Torah, there would be no tachlis for the world, because we wouldn't have the ability to bring Kedusha out of Gashmias. So why would Hashem create the world at all? Right? So this is a chiddush. This is like a chiddush of the Baal HaTanya, in which mitzvahs are more important than Torah, but without Torah you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything at all. And again, let me emphasize that the Baal HaTanya himself wrote what to this day is considered to be the most authoritative kuntris on Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's Ramamish, a very, very chashuva kuntris, in which he talks about Yegiya B'Torah, and he talks about mastering Kol HaTorah Kula, and he says people use it as an excuse when they say, oh, Torah is impossible to know Kol HaTorah Kula. He says, no, I'll tell you exactly what you know. You know, I mean, it's still a lot. He says, you know Tanakh, you know Mishnah, you know Shas Bavli, and you know the Piskei HaRambam. He says, that's enough. You're Yaitzeh, knowing Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah, in Iyun, there's no gvul. The person shouldn't think, this is impossible. He says, it's possible. There's a finite amount of stuff that you're mechuyev to know, and not forget, by the way, and not forget. And he says, and a person has to make it his mission to know that. Right? So you have a goal, right? You have a definitive goal. What is it? Tanakh, Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and then Shas Bavli. Again, Yushalmi is good too, but he doesn't count it as a chiyuv in terms of basic ideas, etc., and the basic psukim of the Rambam. Okay.
It's just a point of clarifying what the Rav said about the world existing without Torah. People said, how could the world have existed until Sinai? So from Midbar Rabbah 12:12,
Yevesh
Yevesh
says,
Ki Lelam
Chasdo,
26 times.
Right.
His chesed was 26. That's also, which is Yudke Bavke.
Right.
So before the Torah came, the world was living on chesed.
Yep, it's an amazing thing. Even though you had the avos, even though you had great, great tzaddikim, but the world had no justification in truth until such time as Torah was given.
Well, we discussed which is more important than a mitzvah, or isn't learning Torah a mitzvah?
Learning Torah is a mitzvah too.
It's not a maisa mitzvah?
He says not. He says it's a bit of a maisa. In other words, it's with dibur. Dibur is called a maisa. Yeah. So it's called that way too. In a chinami. But that itself would be important. The only thing is, if you only looked at it like a mitzvah, it wouldn't be better than any other mitzvah. You see, it wouldn't be better than any other mitzvah. So therefore, you have to look at it as more than a mitzvah. In fact, if you think about this, the Alter Rebbe has a very gewaldig raya that mitzvahs are ultimately more important than Torah. But again, that doesn't mean you stop learning. The halacha is, if I'm learning Torah, and there's a mitzvah, right, that has to be done, stucco or something, so the halacha is like this. If it's a mitzvah, she'efsher l'kaima al yedei acherim, if it's a mitzvah that somebody else can do, like somebody needs a ride to the airport, that's gemilas chesed. But that chesed could be done by somebody who's not learning. You're not allowed to be mevatel Torah. But if it's a zan mitzvah that either nobody's around to do it, or there's something special about you doing it, that's also a subjective issue, that it can't really be done by somebody else. So the halacha is, you are mevatel. Now, we tend to look at that as a chumrah, that Talmud Torah is so chumrah, you can only be mevatel if it's Eifshir La'Saisa. In reality, that's not a chumra of Talmud Torah, that's actually a kula. Because the general rule for any other mitzvah is, Oseik b'mitzvah, Patur min ha-mitzvah. If I'm doing a mitzvah, and then there's some other mitzvah that nobody else can do, I'm not mechuyev to stop. Torah is in fact the most lenient of mitzvahs, in which the rule is, if it can't be done without me, I stop learning. Elamai, you see, because the whole tachlis of Torah is to give you the kayach to do mitzvahs, v'meila, but see, yepshir la'say, say, you're mevatel.
If that's the whole point of learning, which obviously it can't be, then why would that be the rule? It should be even more lenient.
Even
if
it's
in front of me, I should go chase it.
I hear what you're saying. So that much that we say Talmud Torah is also a mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah. Right? So we're not going to totally abrogate Isaac by mitzvah. Now I just want to read you a little bit from the end of Perek Lamed Zayin. Hine hamshacha v'arezu shadam mamshich meir meharas orein sof baruchu al nafshei v'al nafshei kol Yisrael. The hamshacha, the drawing down and the light that you bring down from Shemayim, from the light of the Or Ein Sof, the light of the infinite God, on your nefesh, and al nafshais kol Yisrael. This is an important point. When you're mamshich, the light of Hashem, from your Torah learning, you are bringing it down not only upon you, but upon all of Am Yisrael, and that is called the Shekhinah, right? That's what we say. That the Shekhinah comes into the world by Torah learning, Knesset Yisrael, and that's the source of all the neshamas of Yisrael. And that is why Esek HaTorah is called Lashen Kriya. It's a beautiful word here. When we learn Torah, Chazal used the Lashen, you're Korei BaTorah. Korei BaTorah. Now we translate it as reading, but Vayikra means calling. So he says, Al yidei esek haTorah, korei laHakadosh Baruch Hu lavo elav. Korei baTorah, I'm calling to God, Hashem, come here, and He's responding. That's the lesson of korei baTorah. Kavyachol kaAdam haKorei leChaveiro sheYavo elav, like you're calling to your friend to come to you, or maybe this is more of our analogy. Ben katan hakorei liyavus. He doesn't want to use the mashal of the father calling to the child, because that would make us the father. So we're like the little child calling for his Abba to come to him. Lios imay b'tzavsa chadar, that they should be one companion. V'lo liparid mimenu v'lishar yechidi. I don't want to be alone. I'm calling to Hashem. V'zeh shekosav, and this is the meaning of the pasuk in Ashrei. Karev Hashem l'chol karev, Hashem is near to all who call Him, but that's qualified by the second part of the pasuk, l'chol asher yikra'uhu b'ames, those who call to God in truth, and ein emes ela Torah. The word emes is a reference to Torah. I call God to come into my life by the process of Torah. Lafuke misha kore oso shalo al yidei esek haTorah elitzoe kach abba abba. Right? If I think I could bypass the Torah and simply call out to God, I want to be connected to you. Elitzoe abba abba kamosha kibol alef hanavi ein kore bishmecha. Right? The pasuk says, they do not call in your name. Again, the whole Torah are the name, the one big name of God. So, Ein Korei Bishmecha, the Balatanya tags up. Again, these little asides are actually chidushim in the pasuk. The Pashtus, when the Navi says, nobody calls in your name, he's saying, they're not praying to you, they're praying to Avodah Zarah. He says, no, they're calling to you, but they're not using your name. They're not mishtamesh with the kayach of the Torah. And now he adds something which is very sobering, where he doesn't elaborate. Umizah yisbonein hamashkil lahamshich olav yira gedola bishas esek b'tayra. If you realize that when you're learning Torah, you're inviting Hashem to come into the world, come into your neshama. then this should give a person a great yira, a great reverence, a great pachat when he's learning, because he's literally bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, and this espininess should give a person yira gedayla b'shas esek haTorah. Again, okay, well, we'll see. Rav Chaim Volozhiner may have some issues with this, because Rav Chaim Volozhiner was afraid. The theoretical structure of Shaar Dalet, which, you know, maybe we'll get to a little later as we go through some of the Tanya, is, I mentioned a number of times, largely, maybe not to a large degree, it was practically motivated. Rav Chaim's concern was that to be overly conscious of the Shekhinah coming in may take a person away from total immersion in the tochen of the learning itself, because you would be so involved in the purpose of the learning and the result of the learning that you're not going to be interested in the process of the learning. You understand the problem. If I am consciously aware and thinking all the time, this learning is connecting me to the Bayrei Olam, the Kol Yochol that I have to love and I have to have Yiras Hashem. So then you start learning some very, very technical things. Machlokas, Rashi and Taisus, Ramban, Rabbi Kiva Eger. And then there'll be something in the back of your mind that keeps on saying, well, how does this make me closer to Hashem, right, etc. So Rav Chaim thought there was a certain sakana in thinking about it too much. Now, the Baal HaTanya apparently held that was not a problem. But I would actually say this is almost more of a machlokes in terms of the practicalities of learning than it is in terms of the mitzias of learning. The mitzias of learning, the Nefesh HaChaim also says, creates that devekus in Hashem, that connection to Hashem. And just like the Baal HaTanya, the same lesson, to be mamshich, the or ein sof, into the world. The only thing is, the Baal HaTanya seems to say you should be thinking about it more. Of course, that'll really be the topic of the next parakim, we'll see. And Rav Chaim says, think about it less. So it's not, so it's a very practical machlokas, but it's not necessarily a huge machlokas in the theoretical idea of what Talmud Torah accomplishes. Yeah.
We're talking about this in the context of discussion between the Sidon and the
Yep.
At the beginning, you mentioned that this few sections are also sort of controversial among the Sidon.
Yes.
And I don't know enough about the interplay, but I was wondering if this is sort of a direct call out, say, on the Breslov practice that is motivist, of calling out but not in Torah.
You know, I'd have to check. I don't know Bidiyuk exactly who is he addressing here, but I did come across the idea that he was addressing different aspects. But the only question is, once again, Rav Nachman of Breslov too, if you look, Rav Nachman was very, very big on a very comprehensive Yediyah Satira. He includes Shas, he includes all the Midrashim, he includes Shulchan Aruch. So, you know, people sometimes take a chalik of some of what a Hasidish Rabbi says without looking at the whole picture. So the Breslover Derech was a Bekiyistik Derech. It was not necessarily what we would call Ian, but it was a very, very comprehensive notion of knowing many, many Chalakim of Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah.
Bringing the Torah to the individual, maybe it's not for tonight, but there are two individuals. One has perfected the 48 ways of acquiring Torah. The other one has 47. He just doesn't want to be a kabbal. So when he brings the Torah in, he's bringing Hashem into him. The one who has only 47 ways, there's holes in his personality, in his malhus. So bringing Hashem in, it goes out. He hasn't really. He tried to bring Hashem in by learning Torah, but the gavra is not ready to receive Hashem because he's chaser in some of the 48 ways.
Right.
Is that a question?
That's a good issue. Now, this was the issue. To take another movement, when you had the Musar movement in the 19th century, we saw Salanter started an idea where people would spend time working on midos, people would spend time not just learning Svarim. See, learning the Svarim was not a controversy. Mesilas Yesharim, Chavos Lavavos, they are Torah, they're Mamari Chazal. I mean, who's going to be against that? Rabbeinu Yonah was way before Rizal Salanter, he wrote Shari Tshuva. But you have to understand, Rizal Salanter's program of Musar was not just learning Musar Svarim. It was about Vadim. It was almost like having group therapy sessions. People would talk about, you know, their chesronos and try to look, work it out. So the Emes says there were many misnagdim in the Torah world to Rav Yisrael Salanter's approach. And many said, in fact, the Beis Halevi and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was against it. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, Torah is all you need. Barasi Yetzer Taira, Barasi Taira Tavlin, Limud HaTaira, no matter what we're learning, through Yegiyah, will purify our Midos and make us into righteous people. So the Chafetz Chaim is said to have said that Limud HaTaira is the diet for a healthy neshama. A healthy neshama that is basically good will, through Taira, become great. But when you have a sick neshama that's filled with bad midos, then, just like a sick person needs special medicine before they can eat a regular diet, so you need special tikkunim for people, and our door was a door that needed direct work on Musar. So, Mimela, what you're saying is correct as well, that both the Balatanya and the Nefesh HaChaim statement, that Torah will give you the kayach, that has to be supplemented maybe with other types of exercises. If people have holes in them, defects in them, the Torah is not nechaz in them because that's like a defect of character. And the emes is, even the Brisk Rav, you know, the Brisk Rav never really said it befeirish. You know, Volozhin did not have Musar, so to speak, because again, both Rav Chaim and the Netziv felt it was not necessary. But as you know, the Volozhin Yeshiva was closed by the Russian government in 1892. And the great yeshivas that flourished after Volozhin, like Slobodka, Mir was early, but Mir continued afterwards, and they became Musar yeshivas. They did become tells. They became Musar yeshivas. And the Brisker Rav said afterwards, maybe it was Hashgacha Pratis that Volozhin was closed down. Because in truth, I don't want to say Lashon Hara, in truth, Volozhin produced quite a lot of hapikursa. Volozhin was the elitist, most elitist yeshiva. Only Eloyim came to Volozhin. And Volozhin produced many gedolim, it's true. Volozhin also produced many free thinkers and many hapikursim, and some connected to the lack of musar and the lack of midos that resulted in a certain prikas ol. Slobodka had it all. Slobodka had it also, but the legend was higher. The legend was higher. What do they say? The Bialik, kind of the Israeli poet laureate, was Talmud of Volozhin, and in fact, one of his most famous poems, if not his most famous poem, is called Hamasmid. And in fact, there's a street in Yerushalayim called Hamasmid. It's named after the poem. And he writes about the yeshiva bachur in Volozhin steiging over learning all night, and it was kind of a nostalgic sadness, like he remembered those days and they had a certain connection to them. But he became a paregoli, he became a very, very non-religious person.
He was on Rav Cook, he saw the Muslim. Rav Cook did 70 dafim a day.
Rav Cook may have been a Talmud at that time. And Bialik was also a Zionist even as a young bacher, so the Netziv was somewhat favorable towards Zionism. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a kanoi gomor against it, and he demanded whoever wrote these poems or these articles be kicked out of the yeshiva lagamri. And the Netziv was looking at the Hebrew, and the Netziv says, well, you know, the Hebrew is so nice. The Hebrew is so nice. And the Siv appreciated literary style and diktuk and all of those things. Yeah. Okay. So now we come to the second half of this. That's Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem. And here the Balatanya moves, and here there may be some major machloksim with the Nefesh HaChaim. Although sometimes it's emphasis more than clear machlokes. And that is, what is the role of kavana in mitzvahs? In other words, is there a difference between doing a mitzvah with a certain kavana and not doing a mitzvah with a certain kavana? Is kavana important, or is it only the maisa ha-mitzvah that's important? So first, the Rebbe makes the obvious point that the Maisa is ultimately more important, because the halacha is that a Maisa without Kavanah, you're Yotze, a Kavanah without a Maisa, you're not Yotze, right? So obviously, the Tachlis is the Maisa. But he brings from the Zohar a passage that Dechilu Urechimu, Dechilu is Yira, is fear of Hashem, reverence of Hashem, and Rechimu is love. Ava and Yira, this is from the Zohar, are the Trei Gadfin. They are the two wings that bring your mitzvahs up to Shemayim. Meaning to say, he says, this is the mashal. The wings of a bird are not the essential part of the bird. In fact, in Hilchos Treifas, if a bird is missing its wings, it is still kosher. It is not a treifa. Nitlo agapayim, right? So the metzias of the bird is the guf and the rosh. But the wings are the mechanism to enable it to fly. Similarly, therefore, the ikar is Torah and mitzvahs, not the kavana, but the dechilu or rechimu is that which brings your mitzvahs up to HaKadosh Baruch. And he elaborates on what this means. Now this gets very, very Kabbalistic, and this is going to be one of those, I mean, it's actually very, very interesting, just in terms of the verbal descriptions, but we're going to be giving a lot of verbal descriptions, knowing that we don't fully understand what is going on. But he describes kind of the world of, not the world, the universe of Kabbalah, and where different mitzvos go. First of all, he points out, and again, this is a recurring problem, the Bala Tanya has to address this there are a few problems that the Bala Tanya kind of has to address in almost every chapter. One is the role of Talmud Torah, since he has to recognize how important it is in spite of all those other things. The other thing that he has to address always, and this is even more so, is the notion of Tzimtzum and Mesach and concealment when God is everywhere, Einod Milvado. Right? So he constantly has to say that God is everywhere, but nevertheless, we don't perceive him, he's covered up, etc. Okay. Now, he makes the point that we have these four worlds, starting from the Ein Sof and the light of the Ein Sof, and then it goes through Atzilus, the world of emanation, which is almost Kulo Elokus, it's fundamentally God, we really don't have a sense of what that is. Then you have the world of Bria and the world of Yetzira, and then it comes down to this physical world, the world of Asiya. And this is the most concealed world. God's presence is most concealed, which is why it is physical and Megushim. And we've already said our Tachlis is to uncover godliness within the most Megushim Dika world. Now, the way it works is, every single world, Hashem reveals himself through 10 spheros. So there are 10 spheros of Atzilus, and then 10 spheros of Bria, and 10 spheros of Yetzira, and 10 spheros of Asiya.
Well, she was 40 days of Asiya.
Yeah, that's right. That's why there's a total of 40. That's why 40 is the sum total of creation. It's also the case that the lowest sphera of the higher world becomes the first sphera of the lower world. Because, for example, the lowest sphera is Malchus, and the highest sphera is Keser, right? Malchus and Keser, right? So Malchus of Atzilus is the same as Keser of Bria. Malchus of Bria is the same as Keser of Yetzira. And Keser, and Malchus of Yetzira is Keser of Asiya, right? So we have these 10 spheros of Kedusha that are working. Now, but here is something that's a little more complicated. And that is, although the 10 spheros exist in each of the spiritual worlds, there are a master 10 spheros which permeates all the worlds. By that I mean the following. Atzilus, as a whole, is the world of Keser. Berea, as a whole, is the world of Chachma Bina. Yetzira as a whole is the world of the six spheres, and Asiya as a whole is the world of Malchus. Okay, so this is complicated because on one hand, every world, again, I apologize for not being able to explain this better, but I can't explain more than I myself understand. But maybe you could take in the structure and then you could cogitate and think about it. And that is, on one hand, each world has its 10 spheros, but they're subsumed under a major category, meaning to say the world of Atzilus is Keser. Keser Elyon. The world of Berea is Chachma and Bina. The world of Asiya, sorry, the world of Yetzira are the Midos of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Asiya is Malchus. Right? Those are the labels. Now, the reason why those super labels are important is the following idea. In each of these worlds, there's a progressively diminished revelation of God, meaning going from Asilas all the way to Asiya, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. Now, here is what the Baal HaTanya says. The Baal HaTanya says that there are two types of kavana that a person can have in doing mitzvahs. In other words, the Zohar says, Ava and Yira. By the way, I want to point out another point. First of all, we have to keep in mind that when the Rebbe says kavana in doing a mitzvah, he kind of switches it to something a little different than we think. We think kavana in doing a mitzvah means I'm thinking about the exact mitzvah, or I know the words. He identifies the word kavana with dechilu or rechima. This is very important. That kavana is not referring to I am mechavein to do this mitzvah. Kavana refers to avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. And he says the following. There are two different ways you can have this kavana of dechilu or rechima. The highest level of dechilu or rechima comes from hisbeinenus, the utilization of chachma and bina. That is, a person is misbeinen in the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That creates within him feelings of love and feelings of reverence. That is dechilu or rechima through hisbeinenus. But then there is a fallback position, that each of us is born as a Yerusha from the Avais with what is called Ava Mesuteres, a hidden and concealed instinctual love. And that love is accompanied with Yira, because we are in awe of Hashem, because we don't want to lose that love. And that is a love that I may not even be aware of. Remember, the Rebbe discussed that earlier. But at times of stress or Mesiras Nefesh, it comes out, I'm willing to die. We discussed the anomaly. What if the person's not willing to die? But the Baal HaTanya assumed that the Jew is willing to die at the last minute. So he says like this. The Dechilu Urechima, which is the secondary level, is that you become consciously aware that that is what you are, even if it doesn't turn into a concrete feeling. Meaning to say, I think when I'm doing the mitzvah that I know that in the depths of my heart I love God. I know in the depths of my heart I fear and revere God. Even though that's not yet motivating me to have a tangible emotional response. But it's in my head. Meaning, you take from what is mustar in your life and you have it, you bring it up to your moach, even though the moach is not able to be mashpia on how you feel. That's also called a kavana. So there are two levels of kavana. There is the kavana of dechilu urechimu through his bainanus, which actually translates into tangible feeling. This is the Alter Rebbe's Bechlau Chiddush, that true deep emotion comes from the moach, not from the leif. That the moach mean, this is something that may be so foreign to us because we haven't experienced it. But this is what the Rebbe says, that true hisbeininus, and if it's the Rambam, the truth is the Rambam says the same thing. Going back to the Rambam says the hisbeininus is mylid within a person, an avas Hashem, and that is the higher level of the chilu rechimu. The lower level of the chilu rechimu might be what we might even call a sense of duty, meaning I consciously think about what is truly mustar in my heart. And even if that does not translate into a feeling, but the fact that I'm aware that that is what I should be feeling, because that is what is inside of me, that is called a secondary level of dechilu urechima. So in both cases you have wings. But here is what he says, and again this is like pure Kabbalah, there must be, I'm sure you have many materials for this, because the Rebbe just makes a bunch of assertions without proving them, but he brings from the Arizal other sources. And that is the following. When you have the highest level of dechilu urechima through his binaness, your mitzvos and your Torah and your maisim tovim go all the way up to Bria, the world of Bria, and they are incorporated in the 10 spheres of Bria. Meaning they are totally united with God, because the spheres are Elokus. The spheres are the actual manifestation of godliness, albeit concealed. And again, the Alter Rebbe Shita about Simpson was that in Bria are the 10 spheres of Atzilus, concealed, and in Yetzira are the 10 spheres of Bria, which have Atzilus in them. So therefore, in a sense, your Torah and your mitzvahs are united with the 10 spheres of Bria. If, on the other hand, you have the second level of Kavana, your Torah and your mitzvahs and your Avaida are only united with the 10 spheres of Yetzira. Meaning the godliness is not as great. Now, why is that so? Very pashut. Because the world of Bria is the world of Chachma and Bina. Since the world of Bria is the world of Chachma and Bina, when you're Zoicha to your Ava V'Yira through the processes of Chachma and Bina, your Makasher, your Maisa, your Tairu Maisam Taivim, to the world of Bria. When, however, it comes through the instinct that is Musteras, you're Makusher to the world of Yetzira, because the world of Yetzira is the world of emotion, Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes. And that's why he makes the point that the Sheirish of Malachim are created in the world of Yetzira, because they don't have Bechira, they are functioning under their instinct, so to speak. And the tzaddik, his neshama comes from the world of Berea, because he uses the midah of Chachma and Bina. So, what basically this means is this. What this basically means is that your mitzvos and your maisim tovim reach a higher level of godliness when you have the higher level of dechilu urechima. And it reaches a lower level of godliness when you have a lower level of dechilu urechimu. Now, why is that important? Because, number one, for your own sechar, he has an ingenious intuition, sechar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward that you get in Olam Haba is a function of where your mitzvahs were situated. Meaning, when your mitzvahs are situated in Bria, the schar you get is a much greater catcher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it's in Yetzira, it's a lower level of catcher. Schar mitzvah, the reward that you get for mitzvahs is where your mitzvahs are located. That's one idea. The other idea is that when your mitzvos and your Torah get joined to the spheres of Kedusha, they then are mamshech Kedusha into this world. They become the mamshichim. So the question is, are you mamshich kedusha from a higher place, which is greater, or a lower place? Right. Now, these are the two levels, right? The chilu urechimu through his spinanus, which is machuber to the 10 sviras of bria, and the chilu urechimu through the ava mesuteres that you bring to the conscious realization of the moach, that is machuber to the 10 sviras of yetzira. Now, what if you don't do a mitzvah with either of those behaviors? So there we have two divisions, two further divisions. By the way, he defines this as, here's another thing where again, Nefesh HaChaim is going to be chaylik. He says this is the meaning of lishma. Lishma means one of these two levels of the chilu urechimu. This is actually a very critical definition, because this is exactly what Rav Chaim Volozhiner was chaylik on. Regabi Talmud Torah. According to the Baal HaTanya, Talmud Torah Lishma, mitzvahs and Talmud Torah Lishma, means you are doing it with one of these two levels of the Chilu Urechima. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, right, said Lishma means Lishem, knowing the Torah. Okay, very, very different. We'll talk about that later. I just want to mention the other two levels. Now, what if you're not Lishma? So here, Rav Chaim, the Alter Rebbe differentiates two different cases. Case number one is, I'm just not thinking about it. I'm doing the mitzvah because I was taught that this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm doing what is called mitzvahs anoshim milumada. It's the way I was trained. It's the way I was raised. It's rote. And even if it became a Baal Tshuva, but you know, now I'm used to it. This is what I do. So here, the Baal HaTanya says an amazing thing, and he brings from Rav Chaim Vital an interesting zach. Here and only here, there's a difference between Torah and other mitzvahs. Meaning, you'll notice on the two levels of kavanah, we did not differentiate. If I have the kavanah of Vizbeinanus, my Torah and my mitzvahs go into the yud sfirais of bria, and if I have the second level of kavanah, of the Ava Mesuteres, the Torah and mitzvos go into the Yod Sfiras of Yetzira. In other words, in that initial chiluk, we did not differentiate between Torah and mitzvos. But when it comes to Shalom Lishma, this is what Rav Chaim says. So the Alter Rebbe brings Rav Chaim Vital, who says that from Torah Shalom Lishma, you create Malachim in the Olam Habriya, you'll see the difference here, and in Mitzvah Shalom Lishma, you create Malachim in the Olam of Yetzirah. Now, what is the significance of Malachim? So, here, again, this is kind of Kabbalah, I can't say I understand this fully, but he differentiates between Mitzvahs being incorporated into the spheres themselves, in which they literally kavyachol become part of the divine, versus a malach that is omeid bachutz. So the Torah is still up there in the world of bria, but it's not muvla in the spheres. It is omeid in what is called the chitzenius of the olam, meaning to say, imagine these worlds are created. The sviros are the actual power flow of divinity. But then there are worlds that are created. So the malach is omeid mi bachutz in the world of Yetzirah, the world of Bria for Torah, and in the case of mitzvos, the world of Yetzirah. And it's omeid mi bachutz, so therefore it is not directly connected to the divine, although it's experiencing some of the shefa. But here, the Alter Rebbe says a chiddush. When you go back and you then learn the same Torah, Lishma, then that Torah that's Eimed Bachutz, Lamafreya, even what you learn Shalom Lishma, goes back in. Same thing with mitzvahs. And that is the meaning, Shemitaych Shalom Lishma. Learn Torah, not Lishma, because the lo lishma can become lishma. In fact, that's the actual meaning. This is a chap. The famous statement of Chazal, machshava teiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa. Now, the simple meaning is that if you have a good thought to do a mitzvah and you're not able to do it, Hashem counts the thought as a deed. But the word mitzarif doesn't really fit that so well, because mitzarif means he combines machshava with maisa. He combines it. That means there's a maisa and a machshava. So the Alter Rebbe's chiddush here, it's a very big chiddush, is that the mitzvahs and the Torah that I did shalom l'shma are kind of waiting outside the line. They're not in the spheres. They're waiting, and when I do it l'shma, l'mafreya, all of the stuff that I did shalom l'shma then gets nischaber. So if I did a mitzvah shalom l'shma 1,000 times, and then the 1,001st time I did it with the right dechilu rechimu, that's going to put all 1,001 mitzvahs into the spheres, into the direct connection. Now, that is the first level of shalom l'shma. But then there is a worse level of shalom l'shma, and that's when you do it not to serve Hashem at all. Even mitzvahs anashim relumada, I'm davening because it's a mitzvah I know I got to do, serve Hashem. But what if I'm doing it just, I'm learning just so I should be a Talmud Chacham? Or I'm davening because I'm afraid of my parents, or I'm afraid of my Rebbe. In other words, I'm doing it for penias. There, that's a very, very different thing. There, the Alter Rebbe says, there, your mitzvah does not ascend at all. It does not go into Bria, Yitzira. It is not Omeid Bachutz. It does not even enter the Sviros of the world of Asiya. It remains trapped in Klipas Noga. Klipas Noga is that Klipa which represents the greatest concealment of God. It is imprisoned. The Torah and the mitzvos are in Golos, in the Klipa, and they can only be liberated through the process of tshuva, which is charata and the like. And when you do tshuva taka, then we go back to the Mafreya Dika thing, that your later lishma can make this can elevate the shalom lishma, but only if you do a tshuva. Masha'en ken, if you did something mitzvah anashim milumada, there would be no requirement of tshuva per se. All you have to do is do it lishma. So here I want to point out that the Alter Rebbe is actually saying that when you learn l'shem penias, there is intrinsically nothing that is accomplished in that mitzvah, except for the fact that potentially it can be liberated from the Klipas Nega. Now the emes is, I think Taisvas, I think, would argue with this. There's a famous Taisvas. On one hand, the Gemara says, you should learn Tairo Mitzvahs, even Shalom Lishma. Shemitok Shalom Lishma, Yavo Lishma. But there's another Gemara that says, a person who learns Tairo Shalom Lishma, no achloi shalai nivra, it would have been better had he not ever been created. It is worthless. So Tosfos answers, there are two types of shalom lishmas. Now the Alter Rebbe also says there are two types of shalom lishmas, but Taisus makes a different chiluk. Taisus says one type of shalom lishma is for ulterior motive. I want to be rich, etc. On that we taka say mitoch shalom lishma. And the rule that it's better that you were never born, that refers lekanter. I'm learning Torah bedafka to shame somebody, right? So Tosfos is mechalek between penias and lekanter. The Alter Rebbe makes a different chiluk. He's mechalek between mitzvah sanasha milumada and penias. He treats penias well. Maybe it's not accurate to say it's totally worthless, because it's not worthless, but right now it's worthless, meaning you've done nothing with your mitzvahs l'shem penias, but they are still potentially redeemable. And because they're potentially redeemable, it's kedai to do. Right? That's his cheshbon. The mitoch shelo l'shma bal l'shma. And he even says, because it's muftach, that you're going to do tshuva, he says, either in this Gilgal or another Gilgal. He says, it's muftach, it's guaranteed that you are going to do tshuva. Therefore, even if you're on a madrega where everything is for pnius, it's kedai to do, because eventually you'll be able to reclaim it out of the golos in the klipas nega. Yeah.
So,
I was never
learning that the
Dechilu Ruchimu
is connected just to
Kavana,
or
one's
connected to
Mas. No, Dechilu Ruchimu are both the elements of Kavana. Now he makes a point, you'll notice in all of this, that no Neshama goes up to Atzilus. And he makes the point that a Nivra can only perceive godliness from the level of Chachma and below. Atzilus is kulo elokus, and therefore it's not shayach for a nivra to ascend to Atzilus. But then he says again from the Arizal, except there are eis ratzon in life where a neshama could be masig even Atzilus, and that is bishas shemayna esrei, and especially the krios when you bow down in shemona esrei. Because then you're mevatel yourself to Hashem. It's shayach for a righteous person to even reach the hasaga of Elokus in Atzilus. He also makes another point. He says, if I'm the average guy who does the Chilu Rechimu type 2, meaning connecting to the Ava Mesuteres, so normally my mitzvahs are linked only to the level of Yetzirah, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, I go up to Bria. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, I could be Masig Bria, right? So, Shemona Esrei, even during the week, could be Atzilus. Shabbos and Yom Tov could be Bria, right? So again, we don't fully understand, obviously, the hierarchy of all of these worlds, but they essentially represent the ability to perceive and be Margish Elokus. Now, this may not be a conscious thing, by the way. When we say, you know, you're getting it from Bria, you're getting it from Atzilus, you're getting it from Yetzirah, that doesn't necessarily mean I feel any different. These are things the neshama is experiencing. Now, in some indirect way, it will affect you, but it may affect you in very, very, very subtle ways. These are processes of the neshama which will fully be realized only in Olam Haba.
It seems like when dealing with this sort of very lowest level, he has two major conditions on what tshuva means. The first one is that tshuva works to elevate a mitzvah even if what you did wasn't an aveira, meaning you read Kriya Shema because your parents said you had to.
Right.
So he says you don't get any credit for that, and tshuva, because you have come to realize what you should have done, that makes it something.
Right.
And then the second one is you don't even have to be conscious of the tshuva you're doing, in the sense that if in a second Gilgul, where you don't remember making the mistake in the first place, somehow you can do tshuva retroactively to there to bring mitzvahs all the way
up. Yeah, that's actually a very good kasha. Meaning, can a person do tshuva by changing? I mean, it's hard to see halachically how that's so. In other words, yes, I change my behavior.
Right.
But I didn't do a vidoy on the faith. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good kasha. Apparently, he understands that as long as you've changed your life, then mi'ikar adin, you're makayim some element of tshuva.
Would that be true even the same gilgul? So you can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't have karata from gilgul to gilgul. So yes. Therefore, maybe that's what you can do. But in this life, where you should be able to.
Yeah, I think that is correct, because the Rambam says that vidoy and charata are ma'akev tshuva. So apparently the chiluk would be when you're able to do that, that's part of the tshuva process itself.
It seems to me like the only difference between these two types of ways to do mitzvahs is that the actual awareness of one. I mean, that is kavanah, right? Is the awareness, but it sounds like that in the second case, where somebody's doing a mitzvah without kavanah, they're still achieving some sort of dvekas, even though that they're not awareness or.
I mean, if it's for pnios, he says the mitzvah is trapped in galus and it does not connect you to Hashem, but it's redeemable, and because it's redeemable, it is worthwhile to do. So right now, you haven't accomplished anything. But since the Eibishter will undoubtedly enable you to do tshuva, begil gozo, begil golacher, so it's kedai to have as many of them as I can, even if I'm doing it for Pinius, right? That's his chiddush, meaning he's actually saying at this particular time, I mean, I don't know what that means exactly. If Hashem is judging me on Rosh Hashanah, if I have rubo sechuyos, so apparently these don't count as sechuyos right now. In other words, they don't count as sechuyos depending on what I do later. Yeah.
It may be possible to answer this question. When he comes back another time with the Joko, he had fallen down. Let's say he's avoided Kriya. He didn't do Kriya Shema Bismano.
Yeah.
First Gilgal, didn't do Kriya Shema Bismano. Second right. time, not Kriya Shema Bismano. And then he says, you know what, I haven't done Kriya Shema Bismano. So in the second Gilgal, he has Harata on the Kriya Shema that he's aware of, and it's Kola, the other Kriya Shema.
Okay, that could be. That could be.
There's a Harata and a Kabbalah al-Askin. And there's the Vidri.
Yeah, assuming that he made the same mistake.
The second time yeah. he will have, Hashem yeah. will give him the opportunity to test, making him a little bit weak, and then he has to strengthen himself, and he'll go right. back with Mafrei onto it. I'm giving it perhaps.
Could be.
I can do this, then I can go a step further.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Averis I did in the last Gilgal. I'll deny that I did something, which I'm sure happened. Then I have in mind that every mitzvah I do is to misaki.
If I did any Averis, I'm doing true.
Which happened. To be
yeah. Well, we do say, for Vidoyim that they're Chatoyim that I don't remember and I'm asking forgiveness, so that's in the Yom Kippur Vidoy also.
I think Bashi
Bashi
is things I don't remember I did this time.
Yeah.
I need to go back
No, but I think in some of the Kabbalistic Vidoyim, it actually Ben Migo goes out. Yeah, it's
just. Well, are we giving kind of like a sign yeah, on like, say, some people like, an easy mitzvah like is really hard for somebody and then a hard mitzvah is really easy for them?
Yeah.
It's like, probably previous lives they perfected that, so it comes easy for them now. Whereas whatever they messed up on their previous life,
that'll tell them that. Yeah, I just want to end that the Baal HaTanya says this is the meaning. Again, so it's a cute explanation. Ashrei Misha Baal Lakan B'Talmudai Biyadei. Happy is the person who comes to Olam Haba with his learning in his hand. Meaning, you know, he knows. So he says the pshat is, happy are you when you come to Olam Haba, to the different Olamas, and you bring your learning with you, because if it was Shalom Lishma, and you didn't, weren't Misakein, it doesn't come with you, it's down there, and therefore you're coming to Olam Haba without your Talmudai Biyadei. So again, some of these pratim, we'll talk maybe more next week, Rav Chaim I think would be Chaylakan, and again, if you go back to the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dalet, you'll vadai see, there's no doubt about it, that his bar pulukta on some of those nikudas is the Baal HaTanya. Although they say there are many, many points of agreement between them. One should not exaggerate the machlokas, but clearly Rav Chaim is speaking about the Tanya in a lot of these things. Okay, have a good week. Ashrei Misha Baal HaKan V'Talmudo Biyado. Happy is the person who comes up to Shemayim with his learning with him. So the Baal HaTanya says, as opposed to leaving it on the ground, because it was Shalom Lishma.
Do you think the time change happens this week? What time?
Tonight?
Not tonight. It was Thursday night.
So they're making it later.
An hour later.
So Shabbos is an hour later. So probably maybe 9:00. We should go to 9:00.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So next week will be 9:00. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.